Well, good morning. Good morning. How we doing? Good. Hey, it's Labor Day weekend. I think we can get a little bit more excited than that here, right? I hope that you guys are doing well this weekend. I hope you've had some time to rest, and I hope tomorrow you get the day off to be able to rest as well. My name's Michael. I am the executive pastor here at Redemption Church, and executive pastor is really just a big word that means I do what Carter tells me to. No, I'm just kidding. We've really enjoyed. I've been here for those of you that don't know me, I've been here for about a month now. And Carter and I have been able to work together and just see some awesome stuff. Even so far in just a month, it's been awesome to be a part of Redemption and what you guys are doing. We just wanted to say, my wife is here as well, and we just wanted to say a special thank you so much to all of you that have been so awesome to us. You've invited us over. Man, we've had coffee. And so I feel like I've had one man meeting right after another, being able to hang out with people and get to know y'all. And so, man, we can't wait to see what God is going to do over the next years that we're here. And we're going to see, man, what God is going to do in Roanoke to change this culture, as y'all talk about so much, for his glory. And, man, to see people walk into freedom in Jesus Christ. And so we can't wait to be a part of that. And so with today, before I dive into our time together, I want to mention two quick things. Next weekend, you're going to hear about this a couple times today, but next weekend, you're going to see these in your seats. We've been talking about this over the last few weeks. We have back to school weekend next weekend. And I'm telling you, it is going to be crazy awesome. So please invite. We've said this a few weeks now, but a few times a year, maybe four times a year, or maybe a few more after that, we're going to have special times where we really want to for you to be able to invite your friends, your family, your one that we talk about. And next week is going to be a huge day in the life of our church. We have all kinds of stuff planned, from local donuts to local coffee, hot coffee, iced coffee. We have syrups that we're going to be able to use to mix in. We're going to have a donut bar or a donut wall as well. And so, and then that's just for the lobby in this area. We're going to have a great experience in here for our kids. Every kid and student is going to be able to receive a gift card to Blue Cow Ice Cream, man, for a back to school end of summer treat. And so we have all kinds of stuff planned next weekend. And so I'm telling you, as we jump back into fall, man, you do not want to miss this date. And so please make sure you're inviting this week. Take these two cards on your seats, grab some more, and man, hand them out in your community. We're going to do our best to do that with our friends and neighbors as well. And so the second thing I wanted to mention real quick as well is that we have this booklet that Pastor Carter mentioned last week right in the lobby as you leave. And man, we got a bunch of these copies, and we want to invest in you and your prayer life. We've been talking about praying for the city. And so make sure you grab one of these books as you head out. We want to invest in you. It's totally free. So grab it. There's a section here that actually, there's a chapter that talks about praying for the Psalms. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been using the Psalms to pray for our city and pray them back to God. And so I want to encourage you, grab one of these free copies. It's a very short, easy read, so make sure you grab it as you leave today. And then lastly, I do want to mention to you that we have, man, so many opportunities for you here at Redemption Church to be able to plug in and serve. Whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's in our kids' area, whether it's hospitality, whether it's production, worship, security, we have all kinds of areas. And we realize, man, that the church is an army. It's not for us just to be sitting still and watching someone speak, but we're an army of people. And so we want to see you all as an army of people mobilize to be able to reach Roanoke. And we do that together by plugging into a serve area. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not serving, plug in. You should see a QR code on the screen. You can just scan that with your phone. It's really easy to jump in. And so take advantage of that. Serve here in our church, because we need you. And so with that being said, we're going to be in Psalms 95, so if you want to go ahead and turn there this morning. And so we've been in a series, as I've said, called Praying for the City. And it's just this idea of different topics and different ways, man, that we can bless our city. We've talked about that prayer is just the starting point, that we start with prayer, that prayer is the work, but then we dive into doing things, that it turns into action. And so this morning, we live in a divided world. Almost every topic that we have covered in this series will either lead you to make fast friends or fast enemies, depending on what side that you choose on those issues. We live in a culture that tries to get us to force us to choose a side and divide, but for us as believers, we know that we are called to be different. that we are called to look different, that we are set apart. Paul speaks about this idea of unity throughout his letters over and over again, right? Particularly in Romans 14:19, he says, "So then, aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up." One of the ways that we do this, that we build each other up in our church, is through prayer. It is through intercession. Intercession is the act of intervening on behalf of another. And we intervene on behalf of one another through prayer. So that leads me to our big idea for today, which is this, that praying for one another unites us. Praying for one another unites us. And we're going to see today that it unites us to God and it unites us to each other and it unites us to people. And I know that prayer unites us because I've seen this played out exponentially in my own life, particularly through my marriage. I know that the more intentional that I am to daily pray for my wife, the more I want to serve her, the more that I want to spend time with her, right? The more that I want to care for her, and the difficult one, the more that I want to let her decide what's for dinner that night, right? And the more that I want to let her choose what Netflix movie that we're going to watch. And so, but church, this is what you were made to do. Interceding for the world. When we intercede, when you intercede, you are living out your truest identity. And this is part of the upward, inward, outward life that we speak about so often here, that we want to love God completely. That's upward. That we want to love ourselves correctly. That's inward. And then outward is that we want to love our city compassionately. We want to love our culture compassionately. And so I want to start with this disclaimer this morning, though, that this is not going to be a theological dissertation of why intercession is biblical. We see intercession throughout the Bible. We see it from Abraham's prayer for Sodom, which Carter talked about a few months ago in our last series. I encourage you to go back and check that out. We see Jesus's prayers throughout the Gospels for intercession, and we see Paul's many prayers throughout the New Testament of intercession as well. And so what I do want us to do today is to look at Psalm 95, and I want us to look and begin to pray this together as a church. And in this book that you'll see here, one of the great quotes that I loved in this book in the chapter that's on praying the Psalms, the author here says, "God gave us the Psalms so that we would give the Psalms back to God." So God gave us the Psalms because he realized, man, that we are broken people, that, man, our, as we're going to see a little bit later on, that our backgrounds shape our theology, whether for the better or for worse. And we all come with different viewpoints on how to pray to God, and we don't really know how to. And that's part of the Holy Spirit's job in the life of a believer. But also, man, the Psalms shows us a picture of how we are supposed to pray. Man, what kind of things should we say? What kind of things should dictate our prayer life? And so with that being said, I want us to go ahead and look in at Psalm 95 and read this together. And my hope is that as we pray this together, we would spur each other up toward Jesus, that we would look like him, that we would love like him in all that we do, right? And that we would be united under him as a church. And so let's read Psalm 95, 1-9, starting in verse 1, it says this, "Come, let us sing to the Lord, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hand the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The seas belong to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry ground too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are his people, that he watches over the flocks under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today." The Lord says, "Don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah and as they did at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I have done." And so church, there is many different things that we can pray together. If you've been a Christian for any short of time or any period of time, there's been 1,000 things that you've probably prayed for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And many of those, and almost all of those, or all of those are great. Those are good things. But based on Psalm 95, I believe that there's two ways that our intercession for each other should be marked. Two ways that our intercession for each other should be marked. The first one is this, a call to worship. A call to worship. This is this idea that we want to pray that our church, man, would worship God rightly, that we would love him, that we would praise him in all that we do. And so let me ask you, what marks your prayers the most? What marks your prayers the most? Is it prayer for yourself? Is it prayer for others? When you do pray for others, what types of things that you do you pray for? And so what I believe that the psalmist is getting at is that there is two types of prayer specifically here under a call to worship, man, that we don't pray very often for each other that we really should. And so the first one is a reverence for God. A reverence for God. If you look at the scripture here, it's full of this idea at the beginning of Psalm 95. Let us sing psalms of praise to him, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. And so, church, our prayer life should point one another to the holiness and to the greatness of God. That our prayer life should point one another to the holiness and to the greatness of God. If you, as you pray for each other, you want to point with your prayers, whether it's out loud or whether it's for us as a church, that we would love God, that we would point to his greatness, to his holiness. This is why Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer with hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name means to ask God to let his name be worshiped, exalted, honored, adored in all the earth as it is on heaven. And so, but how many of our prayers begin with asking for immediate physical needs? Immediate physical needs, that promotion at work, that new home, the mortgage coming through, and help me with the test that I'm about to take, Lord. And don't get me wrong, I believe that we should be praying for those things. But I believe that we need to start, that our prayers for each other and for ourselves need to start with a reverence for God first before we do anything else, that we need to be thankful to him, that we need to have that before anything else. Because I believe, man, if we think God is always some butler waiting to bring us another pillow, then I believe that we're just not gonna pray well. And so, but we also realize this, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. But we have to remember that we were made for God. We were not, he wasn't made for us. That we revere him, that he is amazing, that he is holy, that he is great. Look what he has done. We start in that place first. And so we remember that Jesus is the true king. As Pastor Carter has talked about throughout this series, that he said that in Psalm 2, that he is God's anointed king, that he is deserving of full reverence. He is deserving of all of that. And so secondly, a second prayer that we don't typically pray for one another is right belief about God, is that we pray for our brothers and sisters and for ourselves, man, that we would know God rightly. If we're being honest, all of us in here at some point have struggled with belief in God. And some of you right now, maybe even in that season where you're struggling with belief in God, whether that he is real, that does he even exist, or you struggle to believe that he is good, or you struggle to believe that he is even listening. So church, I want you to hear me on this. I need you to pray that my faith in Jesus would be strengthened, just as I pray that for you. Because all of us in some point or another, man, we're gonna face that testing. We're gonna place those ideas that, man, are false, that are wrong, that we need that for each other. We need to pray also that we would know Jesus rightly, that we would have correct beliefs about him. And so I've been reading 1 and 2 Timothy in my daily quiet time for the last few months. And man, what you see over and over and over again from Paul is he is constantly combating false doctrine. Over and over again, he's encouraging the believers. He's telling them something, but man, in one way or the other, he's like, man, correct your doctrine. Timothy, make sure they have the right doctrine. Make sure they know the right things about God. Don't let false doctrine get into the church. Protect it, protect it. Over and over again. And so church, you could go to 10 different churches this morning in Roanoke, and you would find 10 different views on God and what the gospel is, if we're being honest. There's multiple different ways that people believe this. And so we have to realize that correct theology leads to correct worship. Correct theology leads to correct worship. I heard a pastor say one time, when we worship best when we are informed best. That we worship best when we are informed best. You imagine, to illustrate this, you imagine if I call my wife tomorrow and I say, man, honey, you have the most beautiful blonde hair. You have the most beautiful blue eyes. you are so beautiful. Because let me tell you real quick, she's going to hang up that phone. And when I get home, we're going to have a conversation because my wife is a brunette and she has hazel eyes. And she's not going to be like, oh, well, it's okay. You tried. You're so sweet. You tried. No, we have to realize that, man, correct theology leads to correct worship. And when I know God rightly and what he has done for me in the gospel, I can worship him best. Man, when I know him the deepest, I can worship him because I see the fullness of his character. Man, that he is holy, that he is blameless, what he has done for me on the cross and how great he is. And I can worship him the best. Correct doctrine leads to correct affection. And so Paul prays this over and over again in the churches in his letters that their eyes, some of the scriptures say their eyes would be open to see the gospel more clearly. He prays and instructs churches to fault false doctrine. And we need to pray as Paul did for each other to have right beliefs in God and remember these truths when we are at our weakest. We have to remember that all of us have different backgrounds. Man, we all grew up differently. We have different stories. In our past, this is so important. Our past can distort our theology. Man, our past, the way that we grew up, can distort our theology. When I say theology, that means the study of God. So it's the idea of who God is based on the Bible and the real way that he is, not what the culture says that he is. But the way that we were raised can dictate and change our theology for better or for worse. Our stories distort parts of God's character and our experiences shape our theology. So depending on how you were raised, man, you could have, man, false beliefs about God or you could look at him wrongly. And so we have to realize that there's kind of two primary ways that the gospel can be distorted that we see in our culture. The first one is legalism. Legalism says that God only loves me when I do the right thing. He only loves me when I do the right thing. It's all about works-based religion. He's only happy when I'm at my best. And we know that this is false because it's only by grace through faith in Jesus that we have salvation. Amen? Amen. And so not by our works. But the second is called antinomianism. So we have legalism that says it's works-based, then antinomianism. And antinomianism, it means that it's the opposite. That, man, God's grace covers everything on the cross because so I'm free to do whatever I want. I don't have to follow the Bible. I don't have to follow God's laws, which is also false because Paul states in Romans, should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Absolutely not, he says. As those who are dead to sin, we don't keep living in it. We realize that, man, we are to be holy as God is holy. And so it's that balance of grace, but also at the same time that we want to walk in obedience to God. And so because of this, because of our past being able to distort, man, our theology and make us believe wrong things about God, the Sunday morning sermon and your small group cannot be the only place that is forming your beliefs about God. Man, the Sunday morning sermon and your small group cannot be the only place that is forming your beliefs about God. That we need to be plugged in to gospel-centered literature, that we need to be writing or reading the Bible ourselves. I mean, we need to be forming these things and then asking questions in small group and DNA group and on Sunday morning. When the church is praying that we have a high reverence for God and right beliefs about him, then we can worship him rightly. We can worship him rightly when we do these things. And so the second mark of intercession based on Psalm 95, we said the first one is a call to worship, but the second one is a call to repentance. A call to repentance that we need to be praying as a church, that we would humble ourselves. I mean, that we would ask God for forgiveness daily, that we would empty me. This is one prayer that I pray every morning. God, would you empty me of selfishness, man, of envy, of all these wicked things that don't need to be. And God, would you fill me afresh and anew with your spirit today? And so we need to be daily asking for repentance for ourselves and for others. And this is based on verses 6-9. Let me refresh our memory by reading that again. It said, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God. We are the people that he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today, the Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah and as they did at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me and they tried me, though they had seen what I did. And so, church, David right here is praying for Israel. He's praying for Israel, which is God's people. And what I want you to see that this section of scripture, the main idea is one of repentance. And and it applies to everyone. Repentance is someone that we all need to do, whether you are in this room and you've been walking for Jesus for 50 years, or whether you're someone that does not know Jesus, you've never given your life to him. That this applies to all of us, whether we need to repent daily, and some for salvation, and some to reorient our lives back to him. And so looking at these two cities right here, these two places, you might be thinking, what is Massa? What is Meribah? So David is referencing here in the Psalms, he's referencing Exodus 17, where the people of God were grumbling and they were complaining as they were being led out of Egypt. And so during the Exodus, that they're grumbling, that they're complaining, and instead of praying and interceding and trusting God, these people are grumbling and complaining to Moses. And they are asking him, God, would you, basically they're saying, man, you should have never took us out of the oppression of Egypt. We should have just stayed there. And so we look at this, and so as they are grumbling and complaining, they didn't show reverence or unity. And yet for us, like we think about these stories and they're like, man, they just saw the Red Sea parted. They just saw all these miracles that God had done. Why are they grumbling and complaining? Yet how wired are we as humans to grumble and complain before we pray? Man, how much does it describe myself? Does it describe you that we grumble, we complain before we ever get to praying? See, Moses ends up interceding for the people on behalf of God, and God came through, just as he always does, with water and things over and over again. We are able to pray for repentance for our brothers and sisters only when we realize, man, how much we need forgiveness. When we remember how much we grumble and complain. When we focus on personal repentance, we can call others to repentance. And I want you to notice the flow of scripture in Psalm 95. It starts with reverence for God and how great he is and joy. And it leads into the end here of personal repentance. And that leads into our hearts being broken for the world as we ask God to break our hearts, man, for the world, that our hearts are broken and we, man, and for the people around us. And man, we can't help but to pray. As we walk in, and when we realize the gospel and what he has done for us and we focus in on that, man, we can't help but to pray for our city. And so the problem though, is that we get so detached and so focused and distracted with other things around us that we set prayer for others to the side. How many times do you say this quote? And man, I've been so guilty of this as well. How many times do we say, hey, I'll pray for you. I'll pray, you're struggling, I'll pray for you, right? And then guess what? We never do. We never do. Intercession reveals our heart for other people. Man, intercession, when we pray for others, it reveals our heart for other people. And it reveals our heart for the unbeliever as well. And we're gonna see, man, repentance naturally leads to salvation of those that don't know Jesus. Man, as they realize what they have done and what God has done for them in the gospel, it naturally leads to salvation. When we intercede, we are praying for others to be united to God. Man, that's what you're doing is you're praying for the unbelievers around you. We're praying, God, would you unite them? Would you unite them to you? We are intervening for them in prayer. And I love the end of verse 7 in Psalm 95. David says, if you would only listen to his voice today. David saying, would you only listen, people of God, would you only listen to his voice today? It reminds me of Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, one of my favorite prayers in the Bible, if not my favorite. Paul says in Ephesians 3, he says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Man, I love that scripture. So I want to ask you, does this look like your prayer life? man, does this scripture that Paul is praying, this idea of, man, falling to our knees and begging God, Lord, would you let them see the gospel? Man, would you let them grasp your love even though it is too great to ever understand fully? Does this describe our prayer life? Does it describe the way that we care for our city? Man, that we want to see Roanoke come to know Jesus. We realize he is the only hope, the only salvation. And God, we are begging, Lord, please, would you save the people around us who are dying, that are going to be separated from you for all eternity? And so I think it's important here that we need to pause just for a second. And I want to speak to you, to those of you today, man, that have unbelieving family members, people that man, you've been praying for years that don't know Jesus. And I want to acknowledge that that is hard. Man, that you, like Paul, have fallen to your knees over and over and over for them. And you are begging God that you would save their soul. And I want to acknowledge that that's hard, and that, man, we understand that God is sovereign, but prayer is not a silver bullet. And that we love these people. We want to serve them like Jesus did. And we are begging God, would you save these people? So I want to encourage you today. Maybe you have grown tired in prayer. That you've grown tired in praying for these people. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Man, don't give up. God has not given up on you, and God has not given up on them. Man, he loves you. He cares for you. And this is why community group, DNA group, is so vital here at Redemption. Man, that we want to get you plugged in. We want you to link arms with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, we want to go to battle with you in prayer. That we want to serve them together. We want to link arms, that we want to love them the way that you love them, the way that you've been praying for them. Man, that's why it's so vital here that we want you to get into a community group, that we want to get you in DNA group so that you can link arms together, that they can pray for your one, that one person that you've been inviting. So church, Jesus interceded for us. So now we intercede for others. Jesus interceded for us, so now we interceded for others. And so now we come back to our definition of intercession, right? We said intercession, we defined it as the act of intervening on behalf of another. God is holy, he is perfect, and his standard is and should be perfection. And we, because of our own sinfulness, deserve to be separated from God for eternity. Romans tells us that no one is righteous, no, not one. But praise God, God being rich in mercy because of the great love for which he loved us, he sent Jesus to make intercession for you, for me. Man, praise God that he loved us so much that he interceded on our behalf when we had no way. There is no way that we could be with God because of our own sinfulness and our brokenness. But praise God, man, Jesus interceded for us. And not only that, this is beautiful. Not only that, but the Bible says that right now Jesus lives to make intercession for you. The Bible says that he's seated at the right hand of God and that he lives to make intercession for us. And church, that is what Jesus is doing right now for you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is interceding for you to the Father. Intercession applies what the atonement accomplished. Intercession applies what the atonement accomplished. And what that means is this. In other words, if you were a Christian, Jesus looks at you even when you sin. The moment after you sin, he looks at you and he says, no, 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 that's my child. That's my child. Man, my blood covers even that sin. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Man, turn from your sin, walk in holiness. Walk in the ways I called it. But man, how beautiful is it to know that Jesus, the Son of God, the one that gave up everything for us, is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And as we sin, he looks at us and he says, no, 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 that's my child. That's my child. My blood covers their sin. And so let's apply this all today and we're done. One main application point is this, that prayer for one another should turn into serving one another. That praying for one another, interceding for one another, it should turn into serving one another. As Carter has said throughout this series, that prayer produces doing. Prayer produces doing. And my prayer is that our church would be marked by intercession for one another, and that would lead to the action of serving each other sacrificially. man, that would lead as we pray for one another, the same way that I told you at the beginning for my wife, the more that I pray for her. Man, I remember this in the church that I was at in North Carolina, the more that I pray for my small group, the more that I'm drawn to serve them sacrificially. Man, to watch their kids when they need a date night, to, man, help them move, to help them, man, when they're going through a loss, when they're going through a different situation, that I'm gonna love them, that I'm gonna serve them. Man, there's so many application points for this that we need to jump into. And so the more I pray, the more that I wanna serve. And so as we pray for each other, we bear one another's burdens through prayer, and we do that physically. Then Roanoke and the surrounding areas will look at us and they'll say, man, something different about Redemption Church. Man, there's something different about the way that they love people, even when it's inconvenient for them. And man, they would be drawn to it, the way that we are at our workplaces, the way that we love people, the way that we care for people. Man, people see that they wanna be a part of it, that there's something different about that. And they would be drawn in, and that they would be able to walk in the freedom that Jesus gives. And so church, who do you need to spur on today? Who do you need to encourage in prayer? I want you to hear me on this. I cannot become who God has made me to be without you and your prayers. I mean, you cannot become who God has made you to be without your church and our prayers. And it's amazing to me that, man, the sovereign God of the universe would look at a broken, sinful people, and he would use these prayers, man, in his almighty sovereignty, man, to help mold us, to help shape us into the image of Jesus, holy and blameless. Man, that the culture looks at and says, I want to be a part of that. Man, I want that freedom that they're experiencing. And so church, who do you need to intercede for today? Who do you, like Paul, need to fall to your knees and beg God for? Whether it's somebody in our church, whether it's people outside of the church, whether it's your one, who do you need to intercede for today? Who do you need to unite to God in prayer? And so as we're closing our time, maybe you're thinking, I've never been united to God in prayer myself. And I wanna encourage you, man, you are in the right place. Man, this is a church that loves you. This is a church that cares for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, man, we wanna encourage you to do that today. That you can talk to me afterward. I would love to share that more with you afterward. Our Pastor Carter, our staff, man, anybody that you see with a lanyard on, any of our team, we would love to pray with you. We'd love to talk to you more about what that looks like. So I wanna encourage you to find someone. Don't leave this place today without being united to God. And so let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for today, Lord. God, I thank you so much that you give us, man, just another day where we can praise you, that we can give you reverence for the God that you are. You are so good to us when we don't deserve it. And Lord, we want to pray this, God, as a church. Lord, we said the main idea, Lord, is the big idea is that we want to be united together. Because our world is so divided, it's broken. People are hurting. Lord, we've looked at so many dividing topics and that we've seen the biblical answer, we've seen what you're giving us, but Lord, it starts with prayer, that prayer is the work and then it turns into action. And so I pray, Lord, that this would be a church that is marked by intercession because you've interceded for us through the cross. God, we're so thankful that you did that, that you would step out of heaven, that you would put on flesh, that you would dwell among us, and that you would give your life so that we could be made right with God. So God, I thank you so much for that today. Lord, I pray that our church would intercede for others because of that. So God, we love you, we thank you. In your name I pray, amen.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.